Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Amud Aleph, 8 lines down. Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Mea Tofsimba. Even 100 have a tfisa in her. Here we're discussing the machloket that we saw yesterday with regards to Rav and Shmuel, when he says, Me'achshav Lachar Shloshim Yom. Yesterday we saw the machloket between Rav and Shmuel, where Rav is a safek, whether that Lashon is a Tnai or that Lashon is Chazara, where Shmuel said that Pshita, that is a Tnai. So therefore for Rav, it's a permanent safek between the two parties if someone engaged her halachically in the interim. Whereas for Shmuel, the safek only exists until the 30 days expire. Once the 30 days expire, it's clear to him that the first individual is the one married because his kiddushin preceded that of the second individual. But for both of them, there's only one person that is married to her. We are the ones uncertain about who that one person is. Again, with Shmuel, it clears up after 30 days. For Rav, it never clears up, but there's only one person married to her. Seemingly, and this is what Rashi is middayik out of the Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, the Lashon of Tfisa is not a Lashon of Safek, but rather a Lashon of marriage. And that means that there are literally 100 people married to this woman, which is, of course, exceptional, because how is it possible to have 100 people married to a single woman? And so too, Rav Asi Amar Yochanan says, Afil Me'a Topsimba. Samarle Rav Misharshi, Abreit Rav Ami. From Misharshi, the son of Rami says that Rabbi Asi, Asav Relecha, time of the Rabbi Yochanan. I'll explain you the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. Shava Nafshe Kishraga Delivne. She made herself like a wall of bricks. Dechobachad, Ravcha Lechavre Shavach. Because each one of them leaves a little space for the next row. So the way that it works is when you build a wall of bricks, you lay out all the bricks next to each other. And then you have to leave a small space. When you move up to the next row, you leave a small space and you shift forward and then you build it up so that the wall doesn't collapse on itself, but it's skewed in a way that shifts the weight away from the edges so it doesn't fall over. So you bring it in each time that you move up. So that means that you leave space for the next row, or you leave some sort of room for the next row, implying here that somehow the Kiddushin leave room for the next individual. Now again, that still is not so comprehensible. He's giving you a theoretical explanation of what happened here, but practically, how does this work? So Rashi says, in discussing the Mashal, he says, just like by the bricks, you put one brick on top of the other and it rests partly on this one and partly on the next one. Nisha revach gam b'shniyah l'yoshlishit mikzat aleh, and then there's space on the second one so that the third one also has space on top of it. Chen kulam. And each row, so subsequently, has the same thing. Hachanami. Kol echad matza makom zman panuei lekiddushin v'tafsu kulan nosra. Each one of them found some empty space in the time in order to take a position or possession in her, and therefore the kiddushin are chal. How this works is debated amongst the Rishonim. How you formulate this idea that there is leftovers in her is subject to debate amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that literally, that there is a shiur, that when they have the Kiddushin, they left over some space in her, and that space can be filled by someone else. The major issue with that is already raised by Tosafot, so you can see that Tosafot's already trying to address that issue, which is, V'im tomar, amayam rinin hocha demikudeshet. How can you say over here that she is married? V'hamar le'el v'perakamo. And Dav Zayin, we already said, Omer li shachet tziach mikudeshet li in a mikudeshet. He says, half of you is married to me, there is no marriage. And implied in those shitot that say that you married her and left over some space is the equivalent of saying, I'm married to half of you, and then there's someone else can take the other half. We saw already earlier in the Masechta that doesn't work. So clearly that is not the formula or the mechanism that is working here. And that's why Tosafot and most of the Rishonim reject that view about what's happening over here. But rather, he offers an alternative. Yesh lamar, hatam hanutayim alafi shein isha mikadesha dechatzein. V'hu shi'er b'gufa isha. The problem there is that he left something over. He said, half of you is married to me. So that residual that he left over causes the problem. Avahocha lo shi'er b'gufa isha klum, elo gomrim ba'kula. All of them married her fully, but there's some sort of residual that is left. Tosafot again here does not make it clear what that residual is, but he says that the difference between that case where you say half, where it doesn't work, is because there you clearly left something over. The language itself left over something in the woman. Over here, each one of them is marrying her fully. But there is some sort of residual that exists. So how does that work? We're going to see in a second that the same din would apply by a get. And Rashi says over here, Perish Bekuntri Shalavi get kritud came into Shayer Ba. That if you do the same thing by a get, it doesn't work. Because in a get, if you leave over a shiur, if you leave over something, then there's no kritut. Kritut means a full severing of the relationship. And if you have any residual in the relationship, that's not kritut. So Tosfot rejects Rashi's explanation for one simple reason. He says, V'lo nehira. Dim kein tikshalei mikidushin gufayu. That's the case, then kiddushin has the same problem. Because if you leave something over, kiddushin doesn't work as well. And Tosfot here brings that there's a hekesh between yitziyah and havayah. That means whatever is true by the get is true by kiddushin. So if a shiur doesn't work by the get, it's also not going to work by the kiddushin. One thing implied in that is that what Rashi seems to be saying is that by the kiddushin, there really is a shiur. He left over space in the woman, and that's fine. Whereas in kitin, it's not fine because there's a kritut. Tosfot's unwilling to accept that because there's a equivalence drawn because of the hekesh between yitziyah and havaya, between kitin and kiddushin. If that's the case, if you can't leave anything over in a get, you can't leave anything over in the kiddushin. And so therefore, Tosfot rejects that view. So Tosfot says that each one of them had a complete kinyan, or didn't leave anything over in the woman. Now, he still doesn't clarify exactly what that means. And here we have two views of how that works. You can see one of those here in the Tosfot Riya Zakein. First of all, he disagrees fundamentally with Tosafot that Gitin and Kiddushin have to be the same. And he supports Rashi in that view. Over there you need a severing of a relationship, and that you don't have. Over here, all you need is a kinyan, and that you do have. He says, what about v'yatzav ha'ita? Rabbi Yochanan on sfir le'hochi. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of that hekesh between yitziyah and havayah, and he brings other proofs to the fact that he is not so swayed by that hekesh. But then, what does he do to explain how this works? He says, ki lo amar, chutz mimishi yikadsheich, toch lamed yom. Shumachi tafse kedushe kulam, v'afilu heim me'ya. So what the Tosafot Riya Zakein here formulates, the idea that you said, I have kiddushin with the exception of so-and-so. So now, we saw an earlier reaction in the Masechta that something like that did work. And so that's what you're doing here. Which is basically, we are married with the exception of anybody who marries you during this time period. And so that you carve out a space for people who come in that time period to be able to have kiddushin. And again, by kiddushin, there's no demand like gitin that it be absolute 100% severing of the relationship like kritut, therefore kinyan. And so that gives you more latitude by the kiddushin. And over here, it's implicit in his statement that he didn't leave anything over in the acquisition of the woman. He left it over in the ability for someone else to come in that time period and take an acquisition of the woman. Mishum hachi nira, the kasava Rabbi Yochanan, she omer li shariat mikudeshet li chutz miploni, she mikudeshet bezo misafek. So the Tosfot Riya Zakein says that Rabbi Yochanan has to have a shita somewhere where there's some residual in the kiddushin that allows access for the other parties to generate kiddushin over here. And that is because by the case where you leave out an individual from the kiddushin, that is a kiddushin misafek. And that kiddushin will allow the other party to come in and be mikadesh. And now he shows you why that's different than gitin. That even though by gitin we would say that you need a kritut, a full-fledged severing of the relationship, nevertheless by kiddushin we do not demand that, because Rabbi Yochanan does not learn the hekesh of havayah and yitziyah in every instance. And therefore there is room or access for all these parties to come and generate the kiddushin over here. Now that seems to be against what the Balei HaTosafot said, because the Balei HaTosafot said specifically that there was no shi'ur in the language that was used. So seemingly the Tosafot is focused on the language that was used, that in the case before on Dav Zayin, there he specified a limitation and said chutz or a chetziech, and that's why there was a problem with the kiddushin being chal. Over here where he made no specifications that eliminated or left out anyone, then those Kiddushin are Chal, even though technically there is a residual because of the fact that they're not married immediately. Others formulate it in such a manner as that the Kiddushin itself happens over time. It's a process by which the Kiddushin happened. Because he says, Me'achshav, ulachar la'midyom. Which basically means that the Kiddushin is slowly, we'll call it evolving over that period of time. And in doing such, he married her 100%. It's just slow to take effect. And the effectiveness is over that period of time. That slow or process effectiveness is what allows other parties to come in and marry her during that period of time. Because of the fact that he left room because the process takes time. And since it's not a singular point in time where he marries her, the fact that it happens over time means that there is residual there that other people can take advantage of. So again, those are the different ways to explain this. Either, like Rashi seemingly is saying, is that they actively left over space for other people. Whereas the Tosfot Ri HaZaken says it in a more nuanced manner. On the other hand, the Ramban believes that the furor here is because of the time delay and effectiveness of the Kiddushin. Not that you left over space in the woman, but the fact is that you left over space in the time for other people to come and make the Kiddushin here. Or, like the Balei HaTosafot suggested, the 100% acquisition seemingly comes over a period of time. It takes a zman for it to go effective. And since it takes time for it to go effective, then that leaves room for other people. Again, none of those are fully satisfactory, but Rabbi Yochanan presents us with a difficulty because of the way that he formulates that multiple people can be married to this single woman. The Ritva himself says that he thinks there's a nafkamina that if this woman has an extramarital affair, that she would be chayevet mita, meaning that she is now married, and therefore she'll get chiyuv mita, and the possibility is that she'd be asur bibiyah to each one of these parties because of every other party that has a relationship with her or has an acquisition in her. He thinks that there is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, real halachic nafkaminot for this woman by the fact that all these people are married to her. Meitiv Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina challenges this understanding of Rabbi Yochanan. Mayom ulachar mita. Get. Veinu get. So in a case where they use a lashon of mayom ulachar mita, that is a get, and it's not a get. He says, I gave you a get mayom from today, ulachar mita, until after death. And you have the same problem here. Does it mean that this is a tnai, which is the get is effective today when I die? Or does it mean that it's a chazara, that mayom lachar mita means from today, oh, now you know what, maybe after I die, obviously there's no get lachar mita, so then it would be a get. So that's what Gemara says, get veno get. Vimate, and if he dies, choletzet velo mitya bemet. There is chalitza and no yibum. Gemara says, bishmal the Rav, for Rav, misayile. This is a clear help to Rav's position. Rav's position is, we don't know if it's a tanai, we don't know if it's a chazara. That's exactly what this braita is saying. We don't know if it's a tnai or a chazara, and therefore it's a get, veino get. It's exactly like Rav Shito. Lishmuel nami. Shmuel says he thinks that it's vaday, it's tnai. Hamani, he'll say this is the Rabbonan. Remember yesterday we brought a braita that showed a machlok between the Rabbonan and Rabbi with regards to this scenario, whether it's get, veino get according to the Chachamim, or according to Rabbi, it is harizeh get. That is a full-fledged get. So what he will say is that I hold like Rabbi. This braita is according to the shita of the Rabbonan. And I hold like Rabbi. Ela Rabbi Yochanan. For Rabbi Yochanan, damar shiura havi. That when you use this language, there is some sort of residual that is left over. That residual, whether you say that it is a time residual, whether you say it's an explicit residual, or you say it's an implicit residual in the statement, kogita demishayir bavalov kumu. Any get that you leave any space over in it, then it doesn't work. Because there, it's clear that you need a kritut, you need a full severing of the relationship. According to Rashi, that is the gzerat hakatuv, that you need a kritut, and a kritut is full and complete. Again, here Tosafot, as we noted before, does not like that explanation, because he says if that's true by get, then it'd also be true by the kiddushin. And therefore the question on gitin is not unique to gitin, you'd have to ask the same question on Rabbi Yochanan Shita by kiddushin. Therefore, he explains the difference here between Gitin and Kiddushin having to do with the nature of the language that is used. Which is that by Kiddushin, he says, Me'ayom ula'achar shloshim yom. Whereas over here it says, me'ayom ula'achar mita. The difference being that, me'ayom ula'achar mita, hayom you could give a get. La'achar mita, you cannot give a get. And so therefore, the failure over here, or the fact that there is a full kritut over here, is because the shi'ur is not a real shi'ur. Because la'achar mita, gitin are no longer relevant. On the other hand, when you say me'ayom ula'achar shloshim yom, it's clear that you can get married today. It's also clear if you're still around, you can get married in 30 days. And therefore, the difference between Kiddushin and Gittin here, or the question revolves around Gittin and not Kiddushin, is because the dates that you gave by the Kiddushin are both valid dates for Kiddushin. And therefore, the Shi'ur is a real Shi'ur. On the other hand, by the Gittin, to leave over after death is not a relevant time for a get. That's not a Shi'ur. That leaves no room for anyone else. So, Rashi says it's because Gzeret HaGetuv, that Kritut has to be full and severed relationship. That's what says it's the problem in the language here. There's clearly, Shi'ur can't work over here. So, Yevume Miyabin. So then, if that's the case, if it's not a good get, then, Yevume Miyabin. You should have to do Yibum at this point in time. Amarova get lehotzi, umita lehotzi. So, Rava says along the lines of what you were suggesting, which is, a get, or the purpose of a get is to sever the relationship between the husband and wife. Mita does that automatically. It severs the relationship between the husband and wife. Mashashir get, gemarato mita. In Ochanami, the get is not effective lachar mita. It's not considered to be a shiur the way that Tosfot formulates it. But mita does the same thing that the get does. So let mita just finishes off whatever the get began. And therefore it is a good get because whatever you left over as a residual, mita is able to cover. Amalei Abaye, midomi. How can you compare the two items? Get motzia mirshut yavam. A get not only releases her from her husband, it also releases her from the yavam, the brother of the husband. Mita machnesa lirshut yavam. On the other hand, mita does just the opposite. Mita brings her into the hands of the yavam. So yes, they both sever relationship with the husband, so you're right on that level that they're doing or functioning in the same direction. And therefore, the mita should be able to finish off whatever the get didn't do, but that's not true with regards to the yavam. Regards to the yavam, get severs their relationship. Mita only serves to increase, or it creates the relationship between them. So therefore, you can't have mita finish what the get did, because they're working in opposite directions here with regards to the yavam. El Amar Abaye, Hotom Taimamai, what's the reasoning over there by Hayom Alacha Mita? Gzeira Mishum Hayom Imeti. So what Abaye says in the end is, Ein Ochanami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mayom Alacha Mita is not a get. Zero get. Because either according to Rashi, there's no complete severing of the relationship. According to Tosfot, you try to do a get that starts today and ends after Mita. And therefore, that is not a get. It's not an effective way to get a get. And the same would be true, by the way, as Tosfot points out, if you said Mayom Alacha Mita by Kiddushin, you would have the same failure, because you can't have Kiddushin la'achar mita. That's the failure here. So because it fails, there is no get, and that means that she was fully married to this guy when he passed away, and she would be subject to Yibum. So then why don't we have her do Yibum? Why does the bright to say, choletzet ve'enem mityabemet? That's a gzeira. A gzeira of the case, mayom imeti. If instead of saying mayom la'achar mita, which is a failure, and the get is not a good get, he said mayom imeti. The get is effective today if I die. There's clearly a Tanai, and there the get is effective. So we're worried about a case where the get is effective, that she'll go ahead and then marry the guy, and that's problematic, because that is a Yavam, or an Eshet Achib, a Makom Gerushin, where there is no mitzvah of Yibum, and that would be a Chiyuv Karet. So how is that get? There it's full-fledged get. So over here, by Yom Lachamita, we're Choshesh for that other language, and we say, don't do Yibum, just do Chalitza over here. Even though technically you could have done Yibum. So now the Gemara says, let's flip it around the other way. V'nigzor me'ayom imeti the tachlots. Well, if that's okay, if you're worried about people mixing up these languages, then when he says me'ayom alacha mita, we make you do chalitza because of the possibility that it would have been me'ayom imeti, and there she would have been divorced and not allowed to do Yibum. Why don't we say the other way around? In the case of me'ayom imeti, let's be choshes that they might have said me'ayom alacha mita. Me'ayom alacha mita would have been a good get, and then she would have been up for Yibum. So tachlots, let her do chalitza there to show us that there could be yibum in the other case. So we have to be choshesh from the yom achamita where there would be yibum. Atu me'ayom al'achar mita. Because of ayom al'achar mita, you should do chalitza by ayom emeti. Even though it's a good get there, you should also have to do chalitza. Ima ta'amer choletzet mitya bemet. The problem is, if we tell you to do chalitza, people associate chalitza and yibum together. And we tell you have to do chalitza, they're going to assume you also could do yibum. So achenami. Ima ta'amer choletzet mitya bemet. So also in our case, when we say ayom al'achar mita, you force them to do chalitza, they might come to do yibum then, because you're forcing them to do chalitza. Gemara says, tichabim. Okay? Let them do yibum. Vein bekachum. The worst scenario is to do yibum, which is what she was supposed to do or could have done here anyway. So, the Gemara says, chashosh, vein bekachum, chashosh de rabbananu. It's all a chashash de rabbanan. Meaning that, bayom lamachar mita, the real din is no get, and yibum is what should be done here. We're telling you to do chalitza because we're worried about the case of mayom emeti. Okay, so then what you're going to think, if you could do chalitza, you can also do yibum? Okay? What's the worst thing that happened? They do yibum? That's yibum, what they could have done. They could have done that here. It's all gzeirah derabbanan. On the other hand, mehayom imeti, over there, she is fully divorced. Sorry, zeget. She is fully divorced. And therefore, there is no yibum that can be performed here. If we demand then chalitza because of the possibility by yom al-achar mita, and then they make a mistake and say, oh, if chalitza I can do yibum, there you have a chiyuv karet that's involved. So there we're not going to permit chalitza because that could lead to yibum. Over here, chalitza we're going to tell them to do because, yeah, if it leads to yibum, that's the worst scenario. That's not the end of the world because, hey, no chanami, that should have been what she did anyway. We're only be choshesh for another language here by yom al'achar mita. All right, so next Mishnah. Omer li'isha, ariat mikudeshet li, amanat she'ten lach matayim zuz. We are married and there's a condition here that I'm going to give you 200 zuz. Harizo mikudeshet v'yitein. They're married, and he's got to pay. Your question is really a machloket Yushalmi and Bavli. The Bavli here leaves it open-ended and says we do not force him to pay, but if he pays, they will be married. Whereas the Yushalmi says that we compel him to pay here because we don't want her hanging around, but safek that whole time. The Ritva extrapolates Yushalmi on top of the Bavli and says the Bavli doesn't argue on that, so the Bavli must agree with the Yushalmi. There are others who say that the Bavli never says that, that the Yushalmi says that we force him, the Bavli never says that, and that's the view of most of Rishonim, that what you asked is a machloket Bavli and Yushalmi as to how much time we give him. The Yushalmi seems to get on top of him because otherwise this woman is stuck forever. Whereas according to the Bavli, it's when he gives it, they'll get married. Amanat she'tein lach mikan v'ad lamed yom. If he specifies the time period in which he has to pay it, he has a 30-day window to pay it. If he fulfills the t'nai, it works. In love, in a mikudeshet, if he doesn't fulfill the t'nai, it doesn't work. The Gemara asks, pshita, seems very straightforward. What's the chiddush here? Amanat she'eshli matayim zuz, on the condition that I have a net worth that includes 200 zuz, harizo mikudeshet v'yeshlo. As long as he has that in his net worth, they are married. Amanat she'erech matayim zuz, the condition that I'll show you 200 zuz, Harizo mikudeshet vire la. Now, he has to show her the 200 zuz. Vimhera al shulchan enu mikudeshet. But she can't show someone else's 200 zuz. To show 200 zuz means that literally he owns the money. But what seemingly is the nafkamina between this and the previous case is that in the previous case, if you have a din that say that he has a net worth of 200 zuz, that's enough to have the condition go effective. In this case, she says seeing is believing. I don't care what evidence you bring to me until you show me that you have the 200 zuz, then we're not married. So seemingly here, it's the burden of proof that he has to bring or the burden of evidence on him as to whether he has to actually physically show it to her or can he just bring a document that says I have this money or some edim that say I have the money. That seemingly is the difference between these two cases. Again, the Gemara will discuss what the chidushim are in each of these cases. Itmar, nachloket amoraim, how to understand the first line in the Mishnah. V'hunamar v'hu yitain. That the way it works is, they are married immediately, v'yitein, and then he shall give it. Meaning that he fulfills the t'nai after the fact, but the kedushin are effective immediately, and the t'nai is what we're waiting for. Now obviously if he dies without ever paying her the money, then the kedushin never took effect. But otherwise, seemingly, he has the rest of his lifetime to pay her this money. As long as he does that, then the kedushin were effective from the day the kedushin were created, the day that the ma'aseh was done. It only goes effective when he gives her the money. I mean that there's a delayed effectiveness here until he fulfills the t'nai that is here. He says it's a condition. Mikayim tna'a vazil. You fulfill the condition, you go on. Like any other condition. Conditions mean that the action is effective immediately, but there's an held in abeyance until you fulfill the tna'im. And that's what happens here. They are married immediately. It's just held in abeyance until we get the money from him. But that means the effective date was the date that the kedushin were given. And we just wait for him to pay. Again, if he never pays it, then he dies, then they weren't married. But otherwise, if he pays it any time in his lifetime, then that would work. And seemingly, that's how the Bavli argues on the Yushami, which is that there is no time limit here. When you give it, the chiyave have a kedushin. When you give the money, that's when the kedushin happened. That's the effectiveness of the kedushin. Hashta milo ave kedushin. But now there is no kedushin. My benayu, ike benayu, she pasta yadav v'kibla kedushin me'acher. She accepted kedushin from someone else. L'Rav Huna lo ave kedushin. For Rav Huna, there is no kedushin for the second guy. It's clear that the first kedushin were effective first and are in place. And we have a tznai here. It's no safek. That's not a safek chazara safek tnai. This is a tnai. And therefore the kedushin were effective and the first guy is clearly married to her. Again, assuming he fulfills it. If he dies without fulfilling it, she actually would be married to the second guy. Because the first kedushin never went effective. But otherwise, we assume that the first kedushin are effective and the second guy is not relevant here. Rabbi Yehuda have a kedushin. On the other hand, for the second guy, it will be kedushin. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the kedushin are not effective until you fulfill your condition of paying the 200 zuz. That means that if someone else jumps the gun and marries her, she'll be married. And she's married to the second guy. According to Rashi over here, that is completely married to her. So as Rashi explains over here, that the first guy did not intend to marry with the one zuz, but with the 200 that he promised her afterwards. The late leader of Yehuda, Bomer Almanat, Kumer Me'achshav Dami. Because Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of this position that Almanat means Me'achshav, that it happens immediately. Vare kedmo kiddushei sheni. And therefore the kiddushin and the sheni come first. Tosfot on the Amud Bet argues on this Rashi and says that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's a safek. That Rashi here says that it's definitive that the second guy's kiddushin are kiddushin and the first guy is irrelevant. Tosfot claims on the Amud Bet in two Tosfot there that it's a safek for Rabbi Yehuda. She's kind of married to the first and second guy. All right, we'll discuss it more when we get there in the Tosfot. But he disagrees with Rashi that Rabbi Yehuda has a definitive statement here that the second guy is married, the first guy is not. Rather, he says she's also married to the second guy, and therefore she's married to both. There's a safek here. Tana nami gabi gitin, and we have a similar mishnah by gitin ki agavna, and with the same machloket amoreim. Omer li sharei ze giteich amanat shetitni li matayim zuz. Here is your get on the condition that you pay me 200 zuz. Harizo migureshet vihititein. They are divorced, and she should pay up. Itmar, what does that mean? So, Rabbi Huna Amar, vihititein. Rabbi Huna says, okay, they're divorced now, the effectiveness of the get is immediate, vihititein, and she has to pay it up. Rabbi Huna Amar, likishititein. When she pays it, that's when the get will be effective. Rabbi Huna Amar, vihititein, tnaave. Again, when she pays it, it's effective immediately on the time the get was given, because it's a condition. Mekayimot tnaav aslo. All you have to do is fulfill the conditions. The effective date of the get was the time it was given. The get is a get. Rav Yehuda Amar likishititein. Only once she pays up the money does the get go effective. The chiyavat lei hu dabi get. When she pays up, that's when the get goes effective. Hashta mi'alo abi get. Nevertheless, in the interim, the get is not an effective get. Ma binayu. What is the nafkamina between them? Here, ike binayu, shnitkara get o shabad. If the get gets ripped up in the interim, or it was lost. For Rav Huna, the get was effective the day it was given, so the document is irrelevant now, she just has to fulfill it tonight. For Rav Yehuda, lo avi get. For Rav Yehuda, it's not a get, because for Rav Yehuda, you have a delayed effectiveness here. If the get's no longer around, you can't have it take effect if there is no get here. And so therefore, Rav Yehuda, you don't have a get, even if she fulfills the condition, because when she fulfills the condition, the get's not here. Tosfot over here asks, "V'lo ratzah l'shnuyei ike b'nayu." Why can't you just say here the nafkamina between them in this case also is if she accepts kiddushin from another party? It's the same nafkamina, meaning that if she accepts kiddushin from another party, is she married? According to Rav Huna, yes, because the divorce went through originally. According to Rav Yehuda, no, because the divorce doesn't go through to a later date. She's still married at that time. Okay, Shadish, according to Rav Yehuda. So Tosfot rejects that, and he says, "Dim kain." As Rav Lamar, the Rav Huna tzricha get misheni, or Rav Yehuda ain't tzricha get misheni. Vahaleta. And that is not true. So, first of all, he says the language doesn't say, but he also says it's not true. Da filu Rabbi Yehuda namitzrichecha get mi safek. That even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need safek, and this is what I told you before, that Tosafot believes that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that it's a safek, and not that it's a vadai, unlike what Rashi says before. Demigreshet ve'enu migreshet ad shetitain. He shows that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, she's quasi-divorced until she pays the money. And that means that he has a safek. And there before, you couldn't say that it was a case or a nafkamina where she lost the money of the kiddushin, because that is irrelevant. Again, we just saw that in the Gemara yesterday, that if you give a pikadon as the marriage item, then that only goes effective when you actually give her the pikadon. Milveh is gone immediately, therefore you can't marry with it. But kesef kiddushin does not need to be around when the effective date is there. Since you gave it as kesef kiddushin, the residual hana consideration that is generated by that kesef kiddushin is still in effect late the latter date when the kiddushin go effective and the money doesn't have to be there. And we saw that in yesterday's daf, that even if the money's used up, the kiddushin still can go effective at a later date. So Tosafot says you can't use the nafkamina here that we're using by gitin over by kiddushin, because it's not true by kiddushin. And you can't use the nafkamina by kiddushin over here by get, because it's also not true, because Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's a safek get over here. Migreshet v'eino migreshet. And that's how he argues on Rashi, as I pointed out before. Others just say, which to me makes the most sense, is that they kept it topically relevant. By kiddushin, they gave you an example of kiddushin as a nafkamina. By gitin, they gave you an example of get as the nafkamina, to keep it consistent within the context in which it's found. But ain't ochanami, that you could move the nafkamino between them. Betzricha. And we need both of these machlokot. That by kiddushin and that by get. Diyash minan gabi kiddushin. Had you only told me they're machloket of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda by kiddushin. Ba'akama Rav Huna mishum to the krova gate. Over there Rav Huna says that it's immediately effective with waiting for the tanai to be fulfilled afterwards. Because there, he's trying to marry her, and he wants to accelerate it as much as possible. It means he wants the kiddushin as effective as immediately or as fast as possible. Although gerushin, the rachaka, kati, on the other hand, by gerushin, where he's trying to distance her and send her away, ema modile the Rabbi Yehuda, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that he wants to tarry, postpone it, delay it as much as he can, as Rashi notes over here. He's hoping maybe they can have some sort of reconciliation here, and therefore we would say that there's a delayed effectiveness according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why they have to tell you that there's a machloket in both cases. If you only told me the case of gerushin, because maybe that Rav Huna over there says that he's not embarrassed to ask her for the money. Over here, they're severing their relationship. So the husband's not embarrassed to go and say, you didn't pay me the money yet. And so therefore, the get goes effective immediately, because he's not going to be embarrassed to go collect on his money and chase after and get his money. By the case of kiddushin, it's embarrassing for her now to chase him down. If the kiddushin are effective immediately, and now she's got a demand that he pays the money, they're supposedly married, and now she's chasing him down for the money, it's an uncomfortable situation. Maybe there you would agree with Rav Yehuda that there's a delayed effectiveness because the woman is not samchadata. She doesn't really rely on the case of kiddushin because she's not certain she's going to get the other 200. So she wants to wait until the other 200 to go completely effective. Tzricha, therefore we need both of them. So the Gemara creates an interesting tzrichut over here. This is not normally the way the Gemara does it. The Gemara says, if I had one, I would have thought this way, like one Amora. If I had the other, I would have thought like the other Amora. So here, the Gemara sets it all up like Rav Huna and says, had I known Rav Huna by Kiddushin, I wouldn't have necessarily known Rav Huna by Gerushin. If I knew Rav Huna by Gerushin, I wouldn't have necessarily known Rav Huna by Kiddushin. The reason the Gemara does that is because the Halacha is like Rav Huna. And therefore, the Gemara is setting up like Rav Huna. And Ochanami, the Gemara could have said the same exact thing by Rabbi Yehuda in the reverse. And said, had I known Rabbi Yehuda by Kiddushin, I wouldn't necessarily have known him by Gitin. If I knew him by Gitin, I wouldn't necessarily have known him by Kiddushin. The exact opposite way of Rabbi Huna. But here, the Gemara favors Rav Huna's position just because the Halacha is like the Rav Huna in this case. Okay, Meitave. Harizeh Giteich Almanat Shetitni Li Matayim Zuz. This is your get on condition that you give me 200 Zuz. Afapishnit kara get, even though the get is ripped up, Osha Bada was lost, Harizo migureshet, she is divorced. Lacher lotinase achititain. To someone else, she can't get married until she gives the money. So first of all, this is the nafkamina that we said between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, The Braita is bringing that nafkamini explicitly and saying that if the get is ripped up or lost, the good gerushin are a good gerushin. Nevertheless, we say to her, wait until you paid the money. Now, that's interesting in and of itself, because generally when we have conditions, we do not worry about the conditions being fulfilled. We saw earlier in the Masechta, we also saw this back in Masechet Gittin, Tosafot discussed, when do we say that we worry about fulfillment of Tanaim, and where do we not say that we're worried about fulfillment of Tanaim? One of the differences is where we require action. We require someone to do something. In that case, we worry about the person not doing what they're supposed to do. On the other hand, where it's a case where a person's supposed to desist from something or not do something, over there we don't worry about the fulfillment. We assume that they will fulfill it. So this might be different than other cases. Why she has to wait to get the money is because it requires her to actively pay the money over here. And therefore, we're going to hold in abeyance her get until she actually pays up the money. Whereas if the promise here was that she won't do something, she won't go to her father's house, she won't do this, we assume the get is good effectively immediately, and we don't wait to see if she does or doesn't go to her father's house. So in those cases, we're not choshesh, and the get goes through immediately. Over here, the get goes through immediately, but we are choshesh because she has to do something. And so we wait for her to do it until the gitin are... That's a basic way to separate between these two. But nevertheless, what you have here is clearly a braita that supports the sheet of Rav Huna and not the sheet of Rav Yehuda, because here you have the get being ripped up or lost, and the gitin are effective. The gerushin are effective. Valtanya. And we have another braita. Amar la, hare ze gidecha manat shetitni li matayim zuz. Again, here is your get on condition that you give me 200 zuz, umeit. And then he dies. Natna in zukukala yavam. Then if she gave the money, she paid him already before he died, then she doesn't have to have yibum because the get was effective. Lo natna. If she did not give it, zukukala yavam. Then she is subject to yibum or to the yavam because the get never went effective. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, notenet l'achiv o l'aviv o l'achad min akrovim. She gives it to his brother, his father, or one of the other relatives. That when you say, give it to me, it means to me, and not to my descendants or my relatives. And therefore, the Chachamim or the Tanakam will believe that if she gave it to him, the get's effective. If she didn't give it to him, the get's not effective. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes, afilu yoshai. When he says li, means li, me in the greater sense. Me or anybody who's a derivative of me, if you give the money to it, the get will be effective. Now, it's clear here that if the father and the brother are alive, they're the closest relatives and that they should be the recipients of the money. If they're not alive and she's giving it to Shar Krovim, then what is the point of doing this? Because if the brother is not alive, then there is no Yibum. There's no Yibum, then why is she paying money to have the get go effective retroactively? So for that reason, the Rishonim try to come up with cases where she would, despite the fact that there's no Yibum over here, still want the get to be effective earlier. Either she had an extramarital affair, and she therefore wants the get to be effective retroactively, or she accepted Kiddushin during that period, and she wants those to be effective. So there are other motives for her to have the get be effective, where she would still give the money to the Krovim, even though the brother's not alive, and there's no chashash of Yibum over here. Everybody agrees that it is a condition. Clearly, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that, because if she's giving money after his death, the only way the get could be effective is if the get was effective before he died. So therefore, he clearly means that it's retroactively effective. And the Chachamim clearly seem to indicate the same, because she has to give the money while he's alive. The only reason he has to give alive is because li below your shai. But nevertheless, it's effective immediately. So then, Tosfot says over here, umihocha ve'rayo. From this, you see a proof to what I said over earlier. Rabbi Yehuda d'amar l'shekititein havi'get ve'eino get. When you give it, it goes effective. Doesn't mean that it's a delayed effectiveness, but it's a safek effectiveness, whether it's effective immediately or later on. Because if not, then you could just say that he holds like the Tanakama in this case, which is that he could say that the argument is li below the yorshai, and then the li part of it would mean that the get wasn't effective unless they gave the money prior to the death of the individual, and he could say, I hold like the Tanakama. How come we can't say that he holds like the Tanakama in the machlok between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? It's because the Tanakama also doesn't say exactly what he says. Tanakama says it is a get or it isn't a get. He says that it's a safek get, and that's not found in the Tanakama's position, and that's why Tosafot says Rabbi Yehuda can't fit into these braitot, And that's what proves that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is different than these braitot, that it's not effective after you give the money, but rather it's a safek when it goes effective, and that safek would cause problems even according to the Tanakhama. Because according to the Tanakhama, if she gives the money after his death, it's meaningless, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a safek, and that's why the two can't be reconciled. Everybody agrees that it's a condition and it was effective immediately to Yufta the Rabbi Yehuda. This is a strong refutation of that position of Rabbi Yehuda and supportive of Rav Huna's position. Amar lacha Rabbi Yehuda, Hamani Rabihi. Who's the author of this braita? That's Rabbi. Dam Rav Huna Amar Rabbi, Kolomer Amanat, Kolomer Me'akshav Dami. Because when you say Amanat, it's equivalent of saying Me'akshav. And when you say Me'akshav, that is a lashon that makes it effective immediately. Upligi Rabbanan Alei, and the Rabbanan argue on the Rabbi in this case. And I hold like the Rabbonon that Amanat does not mean Me'akshav, because if it means Me'akshav, then it's effective immediately, like we saw before in Rabbi, with the machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim, with the case which we brought to say that Rav and Shmuel's machlok of Amoraim is also machlok of Tanaim, where the Chachamim said it's get ve'eno get, and Rabbi said it's harizu get, it's a full-fledged get. So Rabbi's Lashita though that says Almanat means Me'achshav. Almanat means it's effective immediately with the Achar Mita, meaning that when you die it'll become effectively, retroactively immediately. Chamim say, Achshav Achar Mita is a Safek, whether that's a Chazara or that is a Tanai. So what Rabbi Yehuda says is that these Braitot are all within the Shita of Rabbi, that it's Almanat means Me'achshav, and therefore everybody agrees everything here is effective immediately. The Rabbanan wouldn't agree with that, and I hold like the Rabbanan, who say that manat does not mean that it's effective immediately, and therefore, according to Rashi, there was no get here. According to Tosafot, there was a safek get here, and therefore, the nafkamino that brought out these braitot aren't relevant to me because I'm holding like the other shita. Gufa, Amar Ravuna Marabi, Kolomer Amanat, Kolomer Machshav Dami. So now we're going to investigate this statement. When you say Amanat, it means Machshav, it means that as if you said from today. Amar Rav Zera, Kavina Bebavel, when I was in Bavel, Hava Amrinan, Hada Amar Ravuna, Amar Rabbi, Kolomer Amanat, Kolomer Machshav Dami, Plige Rabbanan Alei. So, when I was in Bavel, then we used to say that Rabbi says this, and the Rabbanan disagree. Now that would then bring up a question as to why the Gemara said Tiyufta and Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it a Tiyufta and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda came up with a good solution to the problem, saying that that's Shita Rabbi, I'm Shita the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan argue in Rabbi, and I hold like the Rabbanan, therefore it doesn't fit into all these braitot. Kisalke la'atam, but when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashche the Rabbi Asi, Diyoti v'kamer lo mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan, I heard Rabbi Asi saying this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, a kol modim. Everybody agrees, bo'mer almanat, ke'omer me'achshav dami. That everybody agrees in the case of almanat, that it means me'achshav, monech lo kuala me'yom la'achar mita. Their only machloket is me'ayom la'achar mita, which is the case that we brought in yesterday's daf, where Rabbi and the Chachamim argue. Now once you do that, the question on Rabbi Yehuda becomes a refutation, because then Rabbi Yehuda has no way out of the problem. He said, I hold like the Chachamim against Rabbi. Well, the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi according to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Gemara said Tiyufta on Rabbi Yehuda, because even his answer only works if you really believe that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi. But if the Chachamim don't argue on Rabbi, then there is no solution for Rabbi Yehuda here. Vatanya. And we have a braita. The braita here is binichuta. Meaning this is a proof that that's where they argue. This is the braita that we brought yesterday. Mayom ulachar mita get ve'enu get. If you say mayom ulachar mita, according to the chachamim, that's a safek get. Divrei chachamim, because we're not sure if it's a chazara or if it was a tnai. Rabbi Omer kaze get. That is a full-fledged get. Ula Rav Yehuda da amar ba'amanat nami plige. According to Rav Yehuda, it says that they also argue amanat. If Rabbi Yehuda is right that they argue about Almanat as well, then why did they bring that Lashon down in the Braita? Why did they bring this Mayom Lachamitah? To teach you how powerful Rabbi's position is, that even in Mayom Lachamitah, he believes that the get is a full-fledged get, and it's a tanai. So let them argue Almanat. Let them argue Almanat to share the Rabbanan's position that even there they believe that it's not Me'akshav and it's still a Safek. Koach de Teira Adif. Rabbi Yehuda, who is the matir over here, we give him more press, and therefore we gave the scenario where Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the most mekel. And so that's why we say, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, they also argue about almanat. And in Ochanami, you could have brought almanat in this case. They brought my Yom HaChemitah to demonstrate how mekel Rabbi is, that even in Yom HaChemitah, he still thinks that it is a full-fledged get. But in Ochanami, they would argue in the other scenario as well. All right now, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and says, almanat she'tein lach mikan v'ad shloshim yom. I have the 30-day window in which to pay you. Gemara says, pshita, if he doesn't pay within the 30 days, why would you think that he has any more time to pay? Ma'udotayim alav t'nahu. Maybe I would have thought it's not a real condition in the Kiddushin. Ulizruzei kamar. He was just saying it to put a little pressure on himself or to give impetus to have it get done within a time frame. But not that that was a real t'nai in the Kiddushin or a hard deadline. Right, a hard deadline or a real condition in the Kiddushin. Kamash Malan, when you say that, you have placed a condition in the Kiddushin. Amanat sheishli 200 zuz. He says on condition that I have 200 zuz. If he brings proof, v'yeshlo, if he brings proof that he has it, then they're married. If he doesn't, they're not married. Mar says, v'nichu shema yeshlo. Why don't we worry about the fact that maybe he has it? Even if he doesn't bring us proof that he has it, why don't we just choshesh that he has it? Some of the Rishonim note that the reason to be even more choshesh over here is because he made that declaration during the Kiddushin, which seems to imply that he does have it. So he's telling us that he has it, and now we're saying he didn't bring any evidence. But maybe we should be choshesh for that. Votanya, and we have a bright that explicitly says that. Chashin and Shem and Yeshlo. If he doesn't bring evidence, we still worry about the fact that he might have that type of net worth. Lokasha. Habi Kedushe Vadai. Our Mishnah is dealing a case of Kedushe Vadai, which is, you want to know if they're married for sure or not? That's what our Mishnah is dealing with. If he brings evidence, then they're fully married. He doesn't bring evidence, then they're not fully married. Habi Kedushe Safek. Over here, when you're talking about Chashash, you're talking about the Brighta. There you're talking about if he doesn't bring evidence, what is the status then? That status is the status of Safek. So our mission is dealing with just with the Vadai case. How do you know when the Kedushin are for sure done? When he brings evidence of the fact that he has 200 Zuz. Okay, now if he doesn't bring evidence, what's the status? That's filled in by the Brayta. The Brayta tells us that that's a Safek. Amanat she'erech 200 Zuz. A condition that I'll show you 200 Zuz. Tana, lo nitkavna ela lirot mishalo. It's clear here that he meant to show of his own money. It doesn't mean just show her any money. It means show her money that you own. If he shows her money on the table, they're not married. The shulchan here is referring to the shulchan of a money changer, like a shulchani. So he shows her money on his table. So Mar says, pshita. That's pshita because it's not his money. The money on the table of the money changer is money that people are giving him to exchange. Even if he took the money to split in the profits. So the way Rashi says it over here is that he'll get a percentage of the exchange profits that he gains from changing this money or using this money. So he does have some ownership in here because he owns the profits that come out of it. Despite the fact we don't consider it to be his money. Because it's really money that he's borrowing, that he is utilizing that will generate profits from him. But that doesn't mean that he has real ownership over the 200 zuz. Rashi says that he's getting a percentage. The Rishonim want to say even if he gets 100% of the profits, he still can't say the money is not his. The money is someone else's money. And yes, that he owns the profits from that money, he still doesn't own the money. And therefore, that is not considered to be a good Kiddushin because it's just not his money. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, is that even if he shows her money on the table that he will be able to earn profits from, that's not his money and they're not married. All right, next Mishnah. Amanat sheishli beit kur afar. He says that I have a beit kor worth of afar. Again, Rashi notes here that a beit kor is a makom aroy luzroa lamed sa'im, right? That a kor has 30 sa'ah in it. So a beit kor is a place where it is ra'oy to seed 30 sa'ah. And whenever you have this, it's not clear whether that means it has a productive quality of 30 sa'ah, or yield you 30 sa'ah, or is it a space in which you could plant 30 sa'ah worth of seeds. And we know that two sa'ah, a beit sa'ataim, is comprised of a space of 100 by 50. We know that from the Mishkan. The Mishkan is 100 by 50. And that's an area of a beit sa'ataim. So, chamishim al chamishim, the beit sa'ah. 50 by 50 for each beit sa'ah. So if you want to know, you have a sa'ah, that's a 50 by 50. Therefore, if you take 50 by 50, and you say I have 30 sa'ah worth, I have a beit kor, Then what you do is you multiply one of the 50s by 30, and you get 1,500. So basically it is 1,500 by 50. That's the area of a Beit Kor. And then Rashi squares that out for you and says, if you take the square root of the 1,500 times 50, then you'll come out to about 273 2/3 amma. So that's the area of a Beit Kor afar. Harizo mikudashet v'yeshlo. If he has that property, then they are married. If he brings evidence of that fact, then they're married. Amanat she'eshli b'makom ploni. Says, on condition that I have property like this in such and such a place, v'yeshlo b'otom makom mikudashet. If he has property in that location, great. V'imlav enu mikudashet. If he doesn't, then they're not married. Amanat she'erech Beit Kor afar. Condition that I'll show you an area of Beit Kor afar. Harizo mikudashet v'yirena. They're married if he shows it to her, once again here, when he shows it to her, if he just shows her any field, that doesn't work. He has to show her his field, not any generic field that is in the Bika. Once again here, the difference between the cases is Hera, he has to show her the actual property. In the case before, he says Yeshli, then he just has to bring evidence that he has that property. But here we say that if he doesn't have the property, they're not married. Why don't we worry about the fact that maybe he does have property? Even though you bring evidence to the fact, maybe he has the property. And the same thing we said before, there's a brayta that says we worry about it. So now again, we give the same answer. Our mission is talking about, you want to know how they're married fully? If he brings evidence, if he has the property. Now, if he doesn't bring evidence, what is his status? That the brayta addresses, and yes, we're choshesh, and there is a safek kiddushin. I ask the question, obvious question. So then, why do I have to do this? What do I need two mishnayot to tell me the exact same thing? One by property and one by money. Tzricha, we need both of them. Now, seemingly from Rashi, the Gemara here is not bringing this to explain why the Mishnah duplicated this, but rather why the Breitot duplicated their din, because the Breitot really are an extension of the explanation of the Mishnah. Tiyashmin and Gabe Zuzeh, had you only told me about money, Mishum Davidi Inish Dematzneh, because people hide money. Money is not something that people walk around with and you see them with piles and piles of cash that you don't know. They put it in a safe place. They hide it. So even if he doesn't bring us evidence, there's a high likelihood that he might be hiding it somewhere and therefore maybe there's a safek. If he has land, everybody knows he has land. That's a public type of ownership. And therefore, everybody would have known about it. Maybe we shouldn't be choshesh. Kamash Milan, that we're even choshesh by karko. Amanat she'eshli b'makom ploni. If he says, I have it in such a location, if he has it, then he gets it. Pshita. He said that where I have it in that location. Of course, if he has it there, he's good. If he doesn't, it's not good. Why do you care where the property is? I'll do the effort. I'll undertake the effort to bring you whatever the product or whatever the value of this land is, and I'll make sure that you get it wherever we live. So why do you care that it's specifically in this location? Kamash Malan, that when we say a specific location, we mean literally in that location. Not that you deliver the product of that land to that location. Amanat she'erech Beit Kor afar. Again, Tano lo nitkavna zu ela lirot mishelo. Once again, we say that when he says that I'm going to show you my land, it means my land and not someone else's land. V'meira b'bikayin mikudeshin. If he shows some generic set of fields, then it doesn't work. Again, pshita lo tzricha denakat bidistura. That it is taken by arisut, as Rashi says. He's a sharecropper on that land. When he shows the land, he owns a production of that land or a percentage of the production of that land. But nevertheless, it's not his land. And therefore, even though he shows their land in the Bika that technically belongs to him because of the production that comes out of it and that he will work the land, that's not showing her a Beit Kor afar that is his. It's not owned by him, it's owned by another party. And therefore, the Kiddushin fail in that case. And we're going to stop here on the last line of Samach Amud Bet.